scary movies.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to tell me you don't like this dress, I'm sticking my head right in the oven.
Don't fall asleep.
What am I supposed to be scared?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to the podcast.
Hiya.
It matches perfectly. So what's up? What's everybody been up to? How was your Christmas? What's going on? What's the gossip?
I literally texted someone earlier asking them would they please come to my apartment and kill me. So that's how bad I feel today.
Yeah. If any of you guys were lucky enough to watch Connor's Instagram stories last night, I'm sorry, and there is help out there available.
I woke up this morning and I was like, four! And I couldn't even bring myself to look at them. Like, I was so bananas. Like, I didn't look at them. It just looked like I was kind of like grooving my shoulders back and forth with my red wine teeth staring into everyone's soul. It was horrible.
I was genuinely uncomfortable. Like, I was like, one level of cringe that I never thought I would be, and it was only because I'm like, he's not even aware how bad this looks. I was like, God,
why didn't you call me? Why didn't you do something?
It was like 7 a.m. and I knew because it was posted 2 hours before I'd gotten up, so I was like, oh, he's like crashed out. And I messaged you like, we should do the Ken and Barbie killers just to test the waters and see if you were awake. Because I didn't want to like immediately be like, what's up, bitch? Delete your fucking story. You're a mess.
You should have absolutely called me.
You wouldn't have answered. You would not have answered me.
Like, oh, this is going to be about the podcast.
Yeah, you're like this bitch.
I didn't do any research, Danny.
Stop talking about vampires. Jesus.
It's, you know, all I can say, Danny, is that thankfully, you know, the way I got a Wacom for Christmas. So I started doing like some drawing again. And the first thing I did, of course, was a self portrait. And it was a very erotic self portrait. And when I posted that on Instagram the other day, I like hid my story from like basically all of my family, who I never want them to see me with like a man's hand clutching my knife together in a pucker and like me crying while being fucked, basically.
I mean, good idea.
Being like, you drew what? So I hid my story from all my family, so my family don't know that I'm and my apartment is still filthy. I'm looking at it right now, like it looks like a crack den. Like I'm disgusting. Like my cat should be taken off me. Like,
oh,
services should be called.
It's funny because your brother listens to this podcast, so he's just gonna know what you did anyway.
I know. And the erotic art. Like, what was that for? Why didn't I just draw something like a dog?
Why did you not just draw like the sun in the sky?
The effort I went through to do it as well, because like I needed like a reference photo. So I basically like took off my top and like posed for it myself for a photo. So I had the camera in one hand, and then I'm trying to create the image that I want to draw like on the phone using my own image, like in the camera, and like try to make it look like my hand isn't my hand and that it's coming from like this angle. And like it took about like 20 minutes of a setup to like shoot this like erotic photograph in my parents' house, my childhood bedroom.
Oh wow, that is dedication
to use as like a reference photo. But it's actually, it wasn't bad for my first attempt at this, because I haven't drawn anything in like 20 years. So
I thought it was good, and I did message you. I was like, God, why am I turned on?
Screenshot of it. I'm gonna like
yeah, like shame me. But yeah, how was your Christmas apart from the pornographic images?
I mean, the pornographic images arguably made it. I mean, my DMs had never been more active.
Love that.
That was pretty great. You know, I like a bit of attention. But my Christmas was good. I mean, you know, Christmas in a lockdown of a global pandemic isn't ideal, but like I'm not going to complain about it to you, considering, you know, you're in fucking Wales.
My like Christmas was, it was fine. Like, it was like, it just didn't feel like Christmas. I was just like, I didn't even like, my whole thing on Christmas is to get day drunk, and I didn't get to do it.
Wow.
And I'm just like, like, this sucks. I'm just sat here doing nothing. So, like, I've got so much alcohol in the house and I'm trying to drink it all before the first.
Yeah, you doing dry as well. Dry January.
Yeah, dry January. And I'm getting back on my yoga and everything.
Ooh,
yeah.
I'm thinking of joining a gym.
Ooh, do that.
You can see the face that I just made. It was like, like, I surprised myself that I said it out loud. What? What?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm going to go back on my DDP yoga. And then obviously Matt is like, he's super clean anyway.
Penetration yoga.
Yes, my double penetration yoga.
Lucky.
But that's the plan. I'm going to get like super hot for 2021. Mm-hmm. I've got loads of like Botox filler tattoo appointments booked in. Changing my hair. It's going to be great. It's going to be my year.
What color? Yeah.
Just literally like a more subtle blonde rather than bleach blonde. I think I've gotten bleach blonde out of my system now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we all have that phase, you know.
Yeah. More like, you know, kind of like beach babe, California blonde.
Okay. Kind of. Like a real blonde. Like one that looks like kind of remotely natural. Like.
Yes, exactly. Ooh, not like nice. This mess with the black root and the blonde. Even though I do love it and I'm like, I can always go back to it because if you're just playing with toners, you can do anything. My hair is like as light as it needs to be to do anything. So anyway, this is not about horror at all.
No. What are your New Year's resolutions?
Get skinny, have
be
good
less
hair.
Blonde. Oh my God, we're parodies of ourselves.
No,
Botox.
I'm excited for the Botox though.
I've never had Botox before, but I am getting it. It's my because I turned 30 a couple of months ago, and so this year I'm starting Botox, which I've never done, and I need it. My forehead is like a fucking old shoe, and thanks.
Not that thing.
Fucking cunt.
No, I meant myself.
Doc Martens.
Yeah.
And I'm getting my tear troughs filled.
Oh, I want to get that too. Because my forehead, I don't have like...
No. Fuck you.
I don't have like...
Your six head, like, yeah.
I don't have like traditional lines in it. But I've got, right, these two really weird deep lines like above each eyebrow.
Right.
And it's just like, I was like, I know I had one of them for ages. And then I swear in like the last week, I've just noticed the other one. And I'm like... And like I had originally looked into getting Botox because apparently it's great for migraines and I suffer really badly for them. So I was just like, well, I might as well just make a cosmetic as well. So I'm gonna get that and I'm gonna get my tear drops filled, chin and jaw filler.
Because my bone structure is so insane. I've had like dark rings under my eyes since I was like a child. Because of
you've
how
got
like, they
really
sit.
High cheekbones though.
Yeah, but it makes my eyes sit in a fucking hole in my head. Like my mom is the same. Like my I'm not gonna get into it. I'm not gonna
your mama no hands.
My mom, no fingers, no neck. And dark eyes. Dark holes her eyes should be. No, I'm not gonna start criticizing my mother's appearance because you know I value my life too much. But and so I look at that and see my future. I'm like, oh, and I've just seen pictures of people that when they've gotten their tear troughs filled, that's like gone away. Because it's like, it's just, even when I like just like lift like underneath my eye with like my finger, they go away. Do you know, it's purely it's like shadow. So I'm dying to get that done. I think it like takes like 10 years off people's face. So
it really does. Like the girl that I go to, she's like one of the best injectors in the world. Like people from like Dubai and stuff come over to get injected by her. She's really, really good.
She's the Usheen of the cosmetics world.
She's the Crowley of the cosmetics world.
Oh. Yeah, but Usheen, you're out. Sorry, girl. I've moved on. Yeah, to another.
He's not gonna like expert. That.
He won't. Do you know what? You know, fuck you. This is my podcast. I can do what I like.
But yeah, no. She literally, like, she's the fucking best, and she actually like the photos on her Instagram of like before and after are just crazy. It's like this woman was 87, now she's 23. Like it's like what the fuck have you done?
It looks like those scam ads that you know dermatologists hate her.
There's like a woman who's like 300 pounds plus and then she's like really skinny and there's a woman that's like a completely different person standing in massive pants.
I always get these really weird targeted ads. I always get this one for bad breath, right? And I have never, like, Googled like bad breath or anything. And it's this horrible image of someone's finger, and I think it's like some garlic or something on it, and it's like, this trick will get rid of bad breath. And I'm like, this picture is disgusting. Like, why are you showing this to me? Like, I'm not gonna click on this. Like,
I keep getting, like, you know, like those pads for your ass that make them look bigger. I keep getting one for my pussy.
I'm all too familiar with those. No,
I keep getting ones for like a pussy, and I'm just like, oh my god, is my pussy too thin? Is that a thing? Can you have a skinny pussy?
Beef curtain me up.
Like, is my pussy too fat? I didn't know, like, of all of the weight issues you can have, like, oh, I hate my arms, I hate my legs, I hate my double chin. Now I have to worry about my cunt. Like, what? Like, leave women alone. Leave everyone alone. Everyone is perfect the way they are, unless you're like, what?
Unless you're me. That's what I'm like. I'm like, everyone is perfect. Lizzo is perfect. You're perfect. I'm like, except for me, though. Big old, don't leave me.
Because I can find, like, little like, I can find things, pretty things in anyone. Like, you can.
Boris Johnson.
In myself, I'm like staring at myself. I'm like, you ugly bitch.
Boris Johnson, I'm challenging you to find something beautiful. His personality.
Well, no, I said in people, not scarecrows.
Oh, where's it? He does have a real Wurzel Gummidge look, doesn't he?
It's that broken hair. Just
brush your hair.
Like, it's not even that. I'm like, why does it look broken? Like, is it bleached? I can't tell if it's naturally his hair and it's just, he's just a scruffy fucker.
Yeah.
Or if it's like loads of bleach and it's snapped off.
I mean, just like, have some dignity, man.
I know. You know? Like, brush your fucking hair. Mm-hmm. Like, shave it off. Then you look like Cousin Fester. Uncle Fester? Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester. Cousin Fester. That's my cousin. Yeah. I am getting ass implants, though.
Are you actually going to go, like...
I've made a decision.
On the black market.
I'll probably go to Lithuania.
Romanian ass implants.
I'll go to Lithuania, I'd say. Yeah, no, I am. I've decided, because I have... it's just, my curse is, like, I am a gay man with no ass. Like, it is the saddest thing. Like, that's how we're meant to lure people into marrying us. And I just have nothing there. So I'm going to get ass implants. So that's why I'm very familiar with ass pads. Because even, like, my friend who was here last night, when we were talking about his wedding when he got married a couple of years ago. Not for visa issues, promise. And we were talking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, that was the day that blah blah blah, and he was like, yes, and you were wearing your ass pads, and all my family commented on it. And I was like, that was actually the last time I ever wore them. Like, they were audibly making fun of me. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, I had like a par donkey. Like, it was absolutely atrocious when I think back at it. I'm like, oh my god, I thought I was the shit, and they were all literally going, that's not real.
It's like,
hear them. Like his aunt. Like, they're like,
oh, it's so funny when you like look back on stuff like that. Like,
I oh my god,
from like 2009, right? And I've got like these clip-in hair extensions. I'm like, what?
That hasn't changed, Danny.
They're not clip-in. They were like £700 tapes, and they
on
look
Amazon Prime.
Oh, fuck off. But yeah, no, like, and just look back at these things, you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, I had like, I think in like 2009, I had like a fucking fake septum ring.
Oh yeah, and I was like, they were big for a while, weren't they?
But like, I had clipped it in the completely like wrong spot, so it was just this random piece of metal just like hooked onto my, what's the part in the middle called?
Septum.
No, is it?
Yeah, that's your septum.
Oh yeah, but it was like too low down, so it was just like, right, it was ridiculous. But
I
yeah,
just
you
should
definitely
why you do that. Like, it's like just get it pierced. Like, it's literally €20, less hassle. Like,
I was turned away by three different piercers because my nose turns up, and they were like, no, it looks shit, I'm not doing it.
Stuck up bitch.
Yeah, and I was like, what? And they're like, no, like, you have such a pretty nose, it's like got a ski jump, and it's gonna look shit on you.
You do have, I love your nose.
I love my nose too. Like, the one thing that I actually love about myself is my nose. I'm like, I do really like my nose. But I was like, fucking, I just want it. And he's like, I'll do your nostril. I'm like, fine. Whatever.
I used to be bullied over my nose by my friends.
You've got a really good nose. No, what did they bully you?
But see, I used to be quite fat, right? And like, you know what my face looks like. So it's real like cheekbone-y and jawline-y. But when I was fat then, it was even Like, it was less cheekbony, like, it was less defined, but I just had, like, a really big face because of that. And because my insane bone structure and, like, the weight. And my friends used to bully me that my nose was too small for my face and it used to be overpowered by my cheekbones. And this, I'm aware this is, like, the most first world problem in the world. And I was like, I was just too beautiful for my nose, they said. But yeah, so, like, my friends used to bully me over that.
This further proves that you are Schmidt and I am Nick.
It actually is so accurate. Really, oh my god, it's so accurate.
I thought you looked cute when you had the weight on you.
Well, you know, I
know you don't, and like, what I like, that's obviously your body and stuff, but I thought you looked pretty cute.
Well, I try not to like hold bad feelings towards Fat Connor, because like, you know, because like there are people out there who currently look like Fat Connor, so I don't want to be like, ooh, I was so disgusting, because like people that look like me then will be like, sound, you know, like that's not cool. But like, I definitely, like, no one was slipping into my DMs, if you know what I mean. Do you know,
that's the thing that I have a problem with, that because like, you can totally not like how you looked previously and people are like, oh my god, that's not fair to me because I've got weight on me. It's like, that's not your problem. For you, that you didn't like your body that way. You're perfectly entitled to not like it. You've changed it. Like, it's fine. But people get so annoyed when you like slate a certain body type that you used to have, or like, say if you had a crooked nose and you got a nose job, and then people are like, oh well, she got a nose job and my nose is crooked, like she thinks she's better than me. Like,
I just think it's something that people can be like sensitive about, because it's very easy to be like, oh my god, I was so disgusting, and like, that's like a bit harsh, because like, you know, like it's kind of like, it's kind of like that thing though. That, you know, the way like you know, like when you're the fat friend and like you hear girls are really bad for this, oh my god, I'm so fat. And like, yeah, you're the fat friend, so it's like, what do you think about me if like you think that about you? Do you know that kind of way?
I never ever thought that though, because like, I feel like someone being like, oh, I'm so fat, they obviously mean they're fat for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm fat for me. That's not, like, I would never take offense to that. And I feel like people are just like, obviously we both agree that people are too sensitive these days about certain things. That's another one, because I'm like, a person is entitled to feel and say whatever they like about their own body. You shouldn't get offended because it's nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, that person isn't looking at you and thinking, oh my god, I don't want to look like you, you're gross. They're just like, oh, my belly's fucking huge, I feel so gross. That's it. It's a personal thing.
Well, like, I can't say that like it's ever happened that someone has given out to me about it. It's just something that I would be like very conscious of. Do you know that kind of way? Yeah. Like I was beautiful then and I'm beautiful now.
You're gorgeous. But I used to see it on like Twitter all the time. People are like, I can't believe you said this, and then like they get really offended
on Twitter.
I know,
even,
but when
though,
I
even like the people that like, the people that get like outraged about stuff are, what is this podcast, Danny? the people that get outraged about stuff. Like, the thing is, I normally like agree with what they say, but it's because of how they go about the messaging. Then it kind of like, it ruins the point. Do you know that kind of way?
It's the holier than thou thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kind of like putting their point across like they're talking to a 5-year-old when they're talking to a fucking grown person. Yeah, no.
Well, like, for me, it's just a thing that like, particularly like feminism as a movement, love it, right? And then you have these kind of like wannabe feminists who like have barely read a book about feminism, and they just and they go out into the world with like very limited knowledge, and they throw around words that they don't understand, and they like misuse, you know, they misuse feminism, they try to kind of weaponize it. And what that does then is that pisses everyone off at feminists, and like,
and it gives feminists, and it gives,
exactly, like, and so that kind of thing, like, I just have no time for. Do you know that kind of way?
Like, I've always been that person. If I am not educated on a topic, I won't speak publicly on it, because I'm not
publicly.
I
just imagine you like, I won't go on Liveline when they ask me. They've asked me, I've turned them down.
What I mean is, if I'm not educated, I will talk to like friends or people who are educated in it, and like not offer my opinion online about something. So this is why I don't really weigh in.
Danny,
on, like,
you're a podcast host. What are you talking about?
Well, I know about ghosts and shit, but you know what I mean? Like, if someone, like,
is that
I don't
what this
know.
Podcast is about?
Yes, we should get to the ghosts. I'm just going on a run. Yeah, I don't know shit about politics.
Scariest thing of all, Twitter.
It is terrifying. We can do a whole fucking episode on creeps on Twitter, or just fucking bitches.
And all the racists that are forming in powerful groups via Twitter. Thanks, Twitter.
Thanks, Twitter. Great.
You're so great with your guns. Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, we should probably address the fact that we weren't here for you guys on Christmas Day.
I mean, I'm never here for you anyway. I'm not here for you.
It got to a point where it was Christmas. We were, you know, doing other things. We had an episode to go up. Mm. We forgot about it. And then we were both like, ah, fuck it. We didn't like it anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't very good anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't. It really wasn't.
Also, Danny, I think it kind of adds to the fun and freewheelingness of our podcast is, like, I've noticed that, like, every week we say, and next week we'll be doing this topic, and then we absolutely never do it. That topic. like and from episode one, like from the first one with the ghost stories that we never read,
if you give us the suggestion, we might get to it like 12-15 weeks later. But we won't do it in the next episode at all.
No.
We've already got like an idea for the next episode. Yeah, but we won't. That's probably not gonna happen.
There's no point in even talking about it. It's gonna be whatever we decide to do the day before. It's like, change everything.
Muggle people, it's fine.
Shadow man.
Adds to our charm, though. It does, I feel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we weren't here for you on Christmas.
Chaos,
but you can
chaotic energy.
Exactly. I'd even actually said this to Matt. I was like, oh, like, if Connor can't record this week, I wonder if it's like a dick move to just get like a special guest star like they do.
First of all, yes, it is.
It is. Like, I wouldn't mind if I couldn't record. I wouldn't mind like you getting somebody on to like cover me. Do you know what I mean?
I would never even dream of entertaining the idea. Who did research, Danny?
Imagine if you were just like ringing me and I couldn't do it. If I was like, if I had COVID or something, and you were like, oh, do you know like roughly what year? Just out of curiosity, Jack the Ripper was active.
I just have images of being like, look, Danny, if you can't record, that's fine, I'll get Jason to it. And he'd be like, no, what do you mean? No, Danny, it's fine, I don't want you to be worrying about it. And I just like, I won't stand for it, Danny. You get
here's
better. I'm not sick, what are you talking about? Bye, Danny.
Just block me and I'll like lock me out of the social media accounts. Speaking of, like, we need to get into this story.
Yeah, because this is a fucking long one.
Yeah. My earring just flew out of my ear.
Oh my goodness. Oh. Ghosts.
Oh. Over here.
Oh my god, the empty wine bottles are flying around my apartment in the air. Hopefully they'll put them in the bin while they're there.
Right, so what we are going to talk to you guys about today, it's actually a London-based story, based in London, true story. Well, it's probably a true story, I don't know. Yeah, that's it, that's spooky enough. So we're going to talk to you about the only gay vampire. Should I do it in that voice?
No, because I have, did you say the only gay vampire? And also, if that was the voice you were doing.
Highgate.
Okay, sorry.
Freshen your drink, Gavna.
Oh my god, I'm texting a guy at the moment. His name is also Connor, because of course it is. I just like have to keep giving, you know, my friends material to use against me. And I can't remember what he said, but when I pulled out a Simpsons quote in response, and he was like, oh my god, I think I'm in love with you. Like, and then we just been exchanging Simpsons quotes, and I was like,
marry
actually
him.
I have a podcast, and me and my co-host found out, like, discovered that all that we do is just quote the Simpsons at each other, just full episodes.
Oh, the best in all Westminster, yeah.
All right.
Right, so we're going to talk to you guys about the Highgate Cemetery vampire, real life London vampire.
Would you fuck a vampire?
I would fuck a vampire.
Oh my god!
Not in the tacky fangirl way that they're always like fanfic.
The True Blood way.
Yeah, I'm just like, no. I would have really awkward crap sex with a vampire, and he'd come early, and I'd be like, well.
Oh no, I'd say a vampire is the best sex of your life.
I don't know. Like, I'm not really into blood. Like, a lot.
Neither
of
am I. Do you know people are into blood?
Yeah. It's weird. No. It's weird, man.
No, I wouldn't. Like, I'm real, like, when I have sex, I'm super sensual, and I'm real, like, someone once described it as if I wanted to crawl under their skin was what I was doing to them. And to be honest, that's kind of how I feel. I feel very intensely when I'm
going to text you a picture of my face right now that I made when you said that, because I'm so scared. I'm like,
what? Oh, Danny. If you think, like, who are you? Like, you pretend for the podcast. Like, the conversation we had before we started recording was much worse.
I'm sorry, but crawl under someone's skin. I'm just like,
yeah, I want so to live under their skin with their bones.
Live with your bones.
Oh my god, my realization this morning about bones is horrible.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that again because that was really uncomfortable.
We're all just bones and bags of skin, honey.
With different colored fluids.
And sometimes you see one bony bag of skin and you want to have sex with it for some reason.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So weird, yeah.
But right, anyway, Highgate Cemetery vampire. So,
are you texting me that photo of yourself?
No, I was joking. I have no follow through. So, as we all know, the 70s were fucking wild, right?
All the cocaine, yeah.
All, like, everything. So I'm going to tell you guys now, okay? This story ends with a magician feud.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed. Oh, right. I'm already, oh my god, it's like the Prestige.
Yep. But what leads up to the feud is actually... I can't, it's so confusing and it's crazy and it's just hilarious. So just put your seatbelts on and we're going to go for it, okay?
Okay.
So Highgate Cemetery, it's been dubbed the creepiest cemetery in London.
What an honor. Like, the award goes to the spookies.
Like, the court nominates them.
12th annual spookies.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my god, we are definitely going to have a spooks award. Oh my god. Oh, definitely. Anyway, go on.
So spookiest in London. It's seen more than its fair share of spooky shit, like, but also a lot of crazy shit that's bordering on pretty much fucking hilarious, okay? So, in the 70s, local newspapers caught wind of happenings that would go on to attract national attention. So, there was a vampire...
Sorry, what kind of sentence is that?
I don't know. I wrote it when I was tired. Like, so, there was a vampire in Highgate Cemetery, and two magicians were competing to be the first to catch it.
Oh my god.
I told you.
Yeah, I'm so bored of this story.
You're sold. So Highgate Cemetery, it was like the place for rich cunts to be buried, like back in the 19th century.
Viscounts.
Yeah.
And so counts.
Viscounts. So Viscounts. I had a look and the place actually, it looks fucking awesome and it's full of like massive, like, tacky OTT gothic style graves and stuff.
Oh, you just know that, like, one of those statues is actually just filled with gold. Like, some, like, insane millionaire just buried his gold in a statue there.
I would do that if I was rich. I'd be like, no one gets it, come with me.
That's all rich is burying your gold and having Christmas dinner alone in hotels. Like,
yeah,
great. Yeah.
best life. Mm-hmm. So it's also the final resting place of like a couple of big names. Karl Marx is there, and and George Michael. So it's diverse, you know. It's quite diverse.
I bet they're having a great chat.
What and there's like here? George.
Oh yeah, drugs.
George Eliot is there, and oh my god, Jeremy Beadle.
George Eliot, did he write Silas Marner?
I don't know. I
think he did. Oh my god, Silas Marner. No, I was obsessed with that book. Did you ever read Silas Marner? Oh my god, I was right. Yeah, Silas Marner. It's insane. But anyway, the book went on forever and Silas Marner is the main character, supposedly. But then like it just detours into being like completely different people. And at one point in class, this girl, Jane, put up her hand and went, Miss, like what happened to Silas Marner? Because like it's just about something else. Anyway, sorry. I'm deliriously hungover. So
it's fine.
George Eliot. Very proud of him.
Yeah, they're all buried there. Everyone is like all hanging out, having the chats, having the drunk, dead drinks. But yeah, so by the end of World War II, then the cemetery, it was run down to bits. It needed some loving, basically, to bring it back to what it was.
Same right now, same today.
And what's cool about this, though, is that in the 70s, there were actually a couple of movies shot there. So the producers of From Beyond the Grave and Taste the Blood of Dracula, Femme Cemetery.
They really had terrible film names at the time. Like, the Deadening.
They really worked. So like they were like kind of the perfect setting for like everything there. So little did they know, however, that the residents near Highgate Cemetery were living a real life horror movie. I'm trying something, okay? I'm writing my own script and I'm just trying to see, because like I found the last few episodes, it just, when I do research, it just sounds like I'm reading and I'm trying to just...
Okay, no, okay, yeah, well, you know.
I'm not an actor. Connor is the actor. I'm the producer, so we'll go from there. Thank you, Connor.
You're welcome.
So, reports then, they've been cropping up in local papers. They detailed a sinister dark figure with blood red eyes.
Oh, of course.
No, listen, with blood red eyes who appeared to glide above the ground. Do you remember when we talked about Lake Bodum?
Yes.
And he said that he saw
the blood
red
dark
eyes. Figure with blood red eyes.
Yeah, but that was just a lie to try and cover the fact that he did it.
You know who else was the dark figure with blood red eyes and floated above the ground? Mothman.
He was.
Well, that's a throwback. We never uploaded that episode.
Yet again.
We'll get there. We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, according to North Londoners, it was obviously a vampire, right? Like, there's no other logical
explanation. Yeah, no. It definitely wasn't just a man.
No.
Like, it's probably someone who worked in the cemetery. He was, like, up on something, cleaning something.
Probably. He has, like, these goggles to be able to see or something.
Yeah, well, it's like everyone in the 70s in London was on cocaine. So they were all coming from a disco.
And they were,
yeah, mad out of it.
But yeah, anyway, so enter David Farrant. So David Farrant, he was super into all that spooky shit. He was president of the Psychic and Occult Society of Britain.
God, I need membership to that.
I know. So it's not surprising then that the stories about Highgate Cemetery caught his attention. Mm-hmm. In 1969, David claimed that he spoke to two people, an old lady who'd been out walking her dog and a middle-aged accountant. I don't know why he felt he had to specify the fact that I guess it was to prove that, like,
they were respectable people. Yeah. Little does he know, they were both ghosts.
So apparently these two people had like similar accounts. Mm-hmm. So the old lady, she said she'd been walking down Swain's Lane, which is
very... Sorry. She was swinging her hips down Swain's Lane.
No, she's walking a dog on her.
No, I'm imagining she left it easy.
So she'd been walking down Swain's Lane with her dog. Will you shut up? And she said that, so that this lane basically runs through the cemetery, and she saw a tall dark figure with glowing red eyes that seemed to be floating towards her. And she said she felt the air turn like icy cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what else happened.
And then she disappeared.
Not much is known about what.
And then she just walked away from the man she told the story to and didn't finish. I have to go now.
My planet needs me.
Swaying down Swain Lane.
So the accountant then, he'd actually gotten lost in the cemetery because it's massive. A bell started to clang and he walked towards the sound, like hoping like, oh, this is like a church on a fucking street. I'll get out of here. So he thought it would like basically lead him back to civilization. So instead, as the bell rang, he became aware of something behind him and he noticed the temperature dropped icy cold, just like the old lady. So,
like the old lady promised. As was foretold by the old lady. The old prostitute and her dog down on Swain Lane.
Oh my god. Anyway, so turned icy cold, whatever. So he turned around and he saw a tall dark figure that stared at him and then just vanished.
This is the worst vampire ever.
I know.
He's so easily startled. He just keeps running away.
So with these I'm sorry, but I can't think of like reacting that way at all. Like, I just think like, I don't know, I would love that to happen. So David David was like, I want that. So he decided to spend a night in the cemetery on Christmas Eve, no less. Mm. As you do.
Definitely.
Not mental at all.
Have a wife and children.
No.
Or maybe so, did.
He was only like 23 as well, so I don't think he would have.
Oh.
But yeah, so he did this on Christmas Eve 1969. So during his little sleepover, David claimed to have seen a tall, dark figure floating.
Oh my god, if I hear him. No, I was a startled vampire one more time.
He saw the figure, right? And obviously he was like fucking pumped. He's the president of the Psychic and Occult Society. Mm. And there's clearly some fucked up like shit going down in the cemetery. Mm-hmm. So he recounts his experience and experiences of those he interviewed in a letter to the local newspaper. So
let me guess, he saw a tall, dark figure with red eyes floating towards him.
Well, I'll read it to you. So in the letter, David wrote, quote, around midnight, I caught sight of a figure about 7 feet tall that appeared to be floating just above the ground. I saw its face and two points of intense red light. The area turned icy cold as I'd stepped into a refrigerator. The figure seemed to be draining me of energy and I felt I was losing control of my normal faculties. It felt like a vivid dream, like I wanted to wake up but couldn't. Realizing I was under intense psychic attack, I repeated mentally a Kabbalistic incantation.
Completely making this shit up now. I'm like, oh, I'm knowing my incantations as I do.
It disappeared, but I decided the reports were true. Cool, man. So yeah, he also asked in the letter then if anyone had seen anything similar in the cemetery.
Great. I saw a tall man with red eyes floating.
Just thought it was a bit strange, just out for our Sunday walk, yeah. And he comes towards us with red eyes. But yeah, so asked if anyone's seen anything. A few people did respond saying that they'd seen apparitions. Will you listen?
I know, but I just never want to hear that description of anything ever again.
I said apparitions.
Oh, sorry. I just assumed. Okay. Sorry.
No, because I was getting so sick of saying fucking figures as well that I was like, apparitions, so ghosts. But yeah, so they'd seen apparitions in the cemetery and down that lane that the old lady saw it.
Swain Lane.
These apparitions, though, they were like.
Swain Lane.
Will you shut up?
Just as the hag foretold. Go on.
So whatever these fucking things, whatever you want to call them, they were like a load of different descriptions basically. So including I know, including a tall man wearing a hat. I don't think that's strange for the 70s.
No.
It's like tall strange. People wear hats too.
It's not strange for any time period.
It's not just strange. As for tall men wearing hats, like genuinely. Like,
they know what they're doing. That's very intimidating.
Yeah, they're fine. This one as well, a ghostly cyclist.
No, it's just a normal cyclist.
So I'm just picturing like the Tour de France cyclist guys, but like as a ghost.
A ghostly cyclist? What was ghostly about him?
I don't know. He looked like a ghost. I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Flipping off buses. Fucking cyclist, man.
A lady dressed in white, which.
Also not unusual at all.
No. A face staring through the bars of a crypt gate, which could literally just be a person looking through a gate. I don't understand how that's like.
That one is a bit suspect.
I've been in crypts and looked out from crypts through bars. Like,
that's because you sleep in a crypt.
I do. My own cozy pink crypt. But yeah, and then they saw a person wading into a pond.
Okay, that is unusual. So the lady slowly wading into a pond to completely submerge. What kind of cemetery is this? Where is the pond?
It's big. If you Oshin lives near it.
He's the monster. Yeah.
A pale gliding entity. So that's not, she didn't really give him much to go on there when she told him that. But
that's just a cloud, dear.
Yeah, like, settle down. So yeah, I mean, like a lot of people said things. They heard like bells and stuff, and they heard voices calling them, and like spookily ookly stuff, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, so David's letter, it would catch the attention of another spookily ookly dude, Sean Manchester. So I hate this guy, and see why. I hate
his
him.
His name is Manchester.
No, not even. Just you'll all see why I hate him. I'm okay. Very much Team David for this. I hate Sean. So Sean was president, right? Get this, of the British Occult Society.
Oh, so totally different rival, to David. Like group.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love people.
So Sean, our Sean, he was a self-proclaimed exorcist, which we know you can't be without, you know, priest. Permission from the Catholic Church. Like, you can't do it.
I'm definitely going to give it a go at some point in my life.
You can't get in trouble.
I'm the church. Oh no,
it's illegal. But yeah, so
their laws.
Self-proclaimed exorcist, vampire slayer, and bishop of Old Catholic British Church.
Sorry, I am Team Sean. Like,
I'm not.
I am so Team Sean. Fucking Team David. David didn't fucking do anything.
But listen to the story. So basically, right, this guy, he claimed to be bishop of the old Catholic, like British Old Catholic Church. So it was like a conservative sect. They broke away from like Roman Catholicism. So fuck this guy. But he's got mad qualifications. Like, I will give him that. If he's a slayer, he's a fucking whatever the fuck he wants to be. Yeah.
He graduated top of his class from the ghoulie schoolie.
Exactly.
Cool.
So, Sean, he would soon make public his ideas about what the apparition in the cemetery might be. So,
men
though David.
Love doing that, don't they? Why are men always doing that? Just shut up.
You don't know. I know. So, though David, he'd never actually claimed that the figure, sorry, Connor, he'd encountered was a vampire. Sean had like little doubt that it was a genuine Nosferatu stalking the Northland Cemetery. Like he was like, no, it's a Nosferatu. That's it. It's a vampire. Like we're all fucked.
But he
didn't
see it.
And I know, actually, but like
this vampire has engaged in no vampiric like qualities or activities.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly. So Sean, he contacted the same newspaper that had published David's letter. And then on the 27th of February, 1970, they published an interview entitled, Does a Vampire Walk in Highgate? And vampire is spelt with the old English spelling, like the V-A-M-P-Y.
Oh, vampire with Y, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Sean outlined basically a theory to explain the monster's presence. He alleged that a king vampire of the undead was buried in the graveyard. So this vampire, apparently, who in life had been an aristocrat and practitioner of black magic in like medieval Romania, had been transported to England in a coffin by his followers in the early 18th century.
It's just the plot of Dracula.
Like, the vampire. Like,
this man needs to be put in a fucking mental asylum.
He's ridiculous. This is why, it gets weirder as I go on, right? So, transported to England in a coffin by his followers in the early 18th century, the vampire had been interred on the site that would later become Highgate Cemetery, and his followers had also purchased a home for him in London's West End on his awakening.
He loves a show.
But you know what I mean? They build Dracula this big fucking castle.
Let's
and he
get
gets moved
every
everywhere.
You are the dinner.
So the reason then for the
jazz.
1, 2, 3 martinis. So yeah, so the reason apparently for the Highgate vampire's reappearance, Sean said, was that rituals recently carried out by Satanists in the cemetery had reawakened this evil presence.
That's
now,
an old woman.
I'm going to weigh in here. As a Satanist, this is bullshit. Okay? Well, I'm a, you know,
Anton
LaVey, atheist.
Satanist, like.
Yeah. So it's completely different. But these other guys, it's bullshit. Okay? Mm-hmm. You hear a dark voice talking to you, just go to fucking therapy, mate. Okay? So, anyway, get back onto it. So, that's some fucking story, basically, that he thinks that loads of Satanists did loads of rituals and then woke up this fucking vampire. Like, it's just, it's really far-fetched. Do you know what I mean? But hey,
Johnny, everything about this has been really far.
I know.
Like, this podcast should be just called Far-Fetched. Far-fetched.
But yeah, so man's a fucking vampire slayer, so I guess we'll just trust what he has to say. So
no, Sean, that means we should absolutely not listen to him. No, you've got that all wrong. He is a self-proclaimed vampire slayer, so therefore we should not listen to anything he says.
No, we shouldn't. So Sean, basically, he claimed to have spoken to local people who had experienced the vampiric activity. So a schoolgirl named Elizabeth, it's Polish, Elizabeth, had seen the vampire.
Unnecessary. Fucking Polish people again with their weird names.
I can't say it. She was a schoolgirl. So she apparently had seen the vampire when she was walking down Swain's Lane.
She was recording the video for all the things she said with her vampire.
They were Russian, weren't they?
Yeah, and really homophobic, as it turns out. Ironically.
Oh.
I know.
That can be a whole other episode.
Oh no, I will talk for hours on that one. Yeah. I thought I was straight for a while because of that video.
God. So yeah. She had seen the vampire walking in Swain's Lane, and then she began having nightmares in which something evil tried to come into her bedroom, like Salem's Lot style.
Oh.
And I'm like, have you just seen Salem's Lot? Like,
everything about this is just people that can't tell the difference between, like,
I know,
reality and fiction. Like, I saw this documentary about, yeah, like,
it's ridiculous. I'm literally like, it's bullshit, right? So eventually then two wounds appeared on her neck. Ooh. And she started to display symptoms of anemia. So Sean and Elizabeth's boyfriend, they filled her room with garlic, crucifixes, and holy water.
Oh my God.
And her condition soon improved.
Imagine the shop.
Yeah.
Imagine going to Tesco and buying a load of garlic to fill the room with.
Like, apparently she got better. Like, so I, you know, whatever. So Sean, he also spoke to another woman. She was called Jacqueline.
Oh, we love that.
I know. So she said that she'd woken up in the middle of the night to find something cold clutching her hand.
Just her husband.
No, this is what pisses me off.
Make love to me like you used to, Jacqueline.
Oh, no.
No.
So the next morning then, she noticed like deep tears in the flesh where she tried to like force her hand free.
Oh.
So I guess she thought she was dreaming and like pulled her hand over and then like fell back asleep when there was a fucking vampire trying to like hold her hand.
Not tonight, Harold.
I know. Stop it.
Oh no, Jacqueline's such a bad bitch. I love her.
I know.
She wears diamonds everywhere, so, like just on the bus.
I know. So Jacqueline then and her younger brother, they soon developed a fascination that kept drawing them to the more broken down and sunken western side of the cemetery.
Okay. Like, yeah. All the things to get obsessed with.
To be fair, I go there. There's like Landoff Cemetery. I always go to like the oldest part at the back, but that's just because I think it's cool. So
is this
they go there
and like seduce ghosts?
I'm the head vampire. So yeah, like literally they go. They like love going in that way, whatever, fine. So Sean said that this is where the vampiric infection had occurred, and that's why they keep wanting to go back there.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous.
Maybe it's just the sunny side of the cemetery. Why are they spending all this time in the cemetery?
I don't know. So like right out the gate, right, I think Sean seems a lot more mental. Like, I don't want to say he's mental, but let's just say he was like more eccentric than David. I don't know.
But that's
he's
why
just...
I love him. Like, I imagine he wears a cape, whereas David doesn't, you know?
I think David seems more, like, factual. Like, I don't know. But anyway, so in his interview then, Sean, of course, didn't supply any proof to back up his ideas about the vampire coming from Eastern Europe.
No, but how are you going to prove that? Like, like in the 1800s, you know?
I know, but he would later state that this part of the article, it was like a journalistic embellishment and he didn't say it. But then in a book that he published in 1985, The Highgate Vampire, yeah, he really does mention a foreign nobleman's coffin being brought to Highgate. I mean, like,
yeah, no, it's
so he did say it. Yeah. Like, he did say it. So there does appear, however, to be more solid evidence occurring in the occult ceremonies Sean believed were taking place in the graveyard. So back to David. David said that in Highgate Cemetery, he often found discarded remains of satanic rituals, black candles, satanic markings on the floors of tombs, and in one small chapel-like tomb with a marble floor and stained glass windows, an inverted pentagram had been drawn on the floor. Which fucking tacky.
It's pretty damning tacky. Evidence, though, isn't it?
Like, I know, but like, do you know what I mean? This is just fucking teenagers this? In the 70s. This is what I think. It's just teenagers in their fucking in the 70s.
Jesus, like, teenagers in the 70s are fucking hardcore in your book, weren't they? Oh, that's just a normal sacrificial lamb. They're just looking for attention.
You listen to enough Black Sabbath back then, you're gonna draw fucking pentagrams. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, people were so much more impressionable. Like, I say that like fucking eating Tide Pods isn't a thing, but like, you know what I mean? So
planking. What about that one?
Oh, I love planking, actually. That was one of the ones that I was on board for because it's funny.
I always think of, there's a video of a drag queen pretending to be Liza Minnelli planking on things.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Falling over. But yeah, so like Sean then, David had figured that such activities might have awoken a presence. He claimed his research showed that though the dark figure hadn't been seen for many years before all of these sightings.
His research is just a load of crayon drawings.
Yeah. This is what I'm
According to my research, it's just pictures of him stabbing vampires. Like a really crudely drawn.
Oh,
he has like really big muscular arms and is wearing a crown.
Anywho, so yeah, basically, so they'd not, like, no one had seen these figures basically a couple of years before, like many years before they had all been sighted from 1969 onwards. So people had seen like similar shit way back in the Victorian era, apparently. So I like David. David does his research, though. Do you know what I mean? David looked up on it. He was like, well, there's been no records of any of these reports.
Like the term since research. No, the term research, I'm really going to like debate what constitutes research in this story.
Like you would know. I heard your mouth drop.
I'm going to take a photo of my face. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post myself to fucking Wales in a box, and you're going to open the box and I'm going to punch you in the face.
Good.
Here's your research, right in the nose.
Anyway, according to Sean then, the police were actually aware of the black magic going on in the cemetery. So it's worth pointing out that David was a member of a group that used the cemetery for rituals, though like pagan Wicca ones rather than like anything satanic, like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like Mother Earth, all that bullshit.
Oh yeah, I know, the worst kind of witchcraft. Yeah, I know
with the fucking dyed armpit hair.
I cannot cope with this. It's like, no, let me just like, hex people, god damn it.
If you say the word dyed, more fucking dyed.
I want to bury my piss in a jar somewhere.
So yeah, David then, he stated that his group like never interfered with graves or bodies or anything like that. But as many of their rituals had to be conducted outdoors, they used the cemetery just because it was like a secluded open space, which makes sense. So, I mean, I wouldn't fuck with that shit in a cemetery. Like, I wouldn't be doing incantations, all that bullshit, if I believed in it in a cemetery. I mean, I think that's just asking for trouble. Like, people like say you can't use a Ouija board in a cemetery, which I fully agree with. I don't really necessarily believe in a Ouija board, but I'll be fucked if I'm gonna actually just test that theory.
I would now. I love an owl incantation.
What, like, talk me through an incantation, because I genuinely don't understand it. Like, what do you do them for? What are the different types? Like, what is involved?
It's a form of just summoning energy. It's kind of, and focusing energy to like an intention. So
can you not just drink a can of Monster?
I'm drinking one right now.
Right, conjuring.
That's just all. It's just folk. It's like, it's intended to just like focus your energy on your intention, and that's like supposedly how like magic works. And like the key to like using magic is just learning how to focus energy
Why don't you just take Xanax? That's basically what Xanax does.
I took a Xanax once.
I love Xanax.
Anyway. And now a word from our sponsor. Do you like Monster? Yes. Do you like Xanax? Yes.
Our sponsor, Focus In.
Focus Ireland. Completely unrelated to previous topics. Oh, what's that insurance company that sells the alien abduction insurance?
Oh, what is it? I didn't even know that. I want that insurance, though.
My favorite was the cover for Death by Aliens, being like a quote of a type of cover. Death by Aliens.
I feel like that's one of the more realistic things, though, because that can happen. Like, it's so stupid to be like, no, we're not getting into aliens. Okay.
Yeah, but right, look, we can't even get a home insurance to cover, like, a flood. They're not going to cover alien abduction.
I mean, I would. If I was, like, an insurance company, I'd be like, well, you
if you were an insurance company, I would be so worried about, like, I don't know, everything.
Why?
I just don't think you should be allowed to do that.
Like, anyway, specifically as a proof.
Oh no, like anyone else, go for it.
anyway, right, let's get back to the story. Okay. So, yeah, David, he does like pagan Wicca fucking shit, not evil shit, whatever. They use a cemetery, fair enough. So again, I wouldn't fuck with that shit, but that's just me. I have enough ghosts trying to fuck me. So, history lesson. In the late 1960s and early 70s, there was a revival, I guess, of interest in all aspects of like mysticism mm-hmm. and the occult. Mm-hmm. So this would include like paganism, Satanism, witchcraft, and the teachings of Aleister Crowley, who's like big in the fucking 70s. So it's clear then that an overgrown and secluded place like Highgate Cemetery, it would offer those who practice this shit like a suitably spooky, secluded place to carry all this out. So, Highgate wouldn't be secluded for long, my dudes, because this went mainstream. So, local newspapers continued to follow the vampire story, re-interviewing David and Sean several times.
These are not the only two men in the country. Why are we giving them so much airtime?
I guess it's because they're the only ones that are like, we're, you know, this is our profession. I don't know.
Yeah, so, because they're the, no one else is insane.
I know. So in an article then published in March 1970, so this takes place over just a few months. Like, it's not like it happens over a long time, like, because the first camp out by David was December 1969, and this is only March 1970. So it's not over a long period.
Yeah, it's a really short space of time for all this to happen.
Yeah. So David then in this article, he said that he'd found dead foxes in the cemetery. Okay. But he couldn't figure out how they died. They were just dead foxes. So, like, not very like, suspicious, because foxes eat out of, like, bins and shit, right?
No, but
like,
also, I mean, like, they just probably just died of, like, old age. They were wild fox, feral foxes. Like,
exactly, right?
Everything dies of something.
Yeah. Like, so he said, killed. Like, there's, like, nothing to suggest why these foxes have died, whatever. But Sean, our Sean, he claimed that he'd also seen the dead foxes and suggested
they were
that
alive.
He suggested that the vampire might have been using them as a food source.
Oh.
So soon it was alleged that the animals had been found drained of blood with their throats ripped open.
Sorry, but David was like, can't see anything unusual about these dead
legit
foxes.
Sean was like, fucking Sean. He was like, oh yeah, no, their throats have been slit. Like, they've been eaten, blah, blah, blah. And David was like, these foxes could have easily been poisoned. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, this is why I hate Sean. So anyway,
I love Sean for this.
No,
he's living for the drama. He's making the most of it. Like, he's keeping it interesting. The other guy, David's really boring.
He's like, factual. He's actually trying to figure out what's happening.
Well, to be honest with you, it seems like all of London is operating under some kind of fucking vampire fever dream during this time. Like, all the newspapers are like really involved in this.
Yeah, I mean, they do seem to be.
No, there's some kind of gas leak happening at the time, and everyone just lost their fucking mind.
It does get really big, though. So reports of the Highgate vampire drama is soon reached like national and even international media. So articles appeared in the national press. TV shows were made by both ITV and the BBC amongst American ones.
We need to track down an episode of one of those.
It's on YouTube. You can have a look. Yeah, it's there, definitely. I had a look for it the other day. So the anxiety then around the vampire, it was actually quite understandable given
Just stop going to that fucking cemetery. It's not that bad.
given previous incidents in the era. So in 1968, on Halloween night, an act of desecration, was discovered in nearby Tottenham Park Cemetery. So it's really close. So flowers had been taken from graves and arranged in circles with arrows pointing to a new grave, which was uncovered. So listen.
So here, put body here.
No, but a stake had been driven through the coffin lid into the heart of the corpse.
Oh my god.
So how strong was the person who did this though? Because aren't coffins like fucking thick? Yeah. So it had gone through the lid into this thing's heart, right? So as
the
interesting
poor person, like,
I don't know,
poor
she probably like died of like natural causes, just like over
the hag like of Swain Lane. I wish you'd be buried here, okay, peacefully surrounded by flowers, okay. Die, you horrible old witch.
So yeah, so basically an interest then in all this bullshit grew, and a rivalry grew between David and Sean, with each belittling the other's skills as an exorcist, and each stating that he would be the one to expel the spectre living in Highgate.
Oh my god, just imagining the costumes are getting ridiculous. They're trying to like outdo each other.
I know.
And turbans.
So on Friday the 13th, because of course, March 1970, a show aired on ITV featuring David, Sean, and a few others who claimed to have seen the supernatural bullshit around Highgate. So, of course, Friday the 13th, how fucking tacky.
Okay, we had a special episode on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, but like, I mean, in this, whatever.
So, we premiered on Halloween.
The show then, it even included the outside reporting from Highgate Cemetery. Within 2 hours of the program being shown, hundreds of vampire hunters began arriving in Highgate.
Oh my god,
so
people.
They climbed over the locked gates and the walls, and despite police officers trying to stop them, they vandalized lots of fucking graves.
Why?
So,
mm-hmm. It's so senseless.
It's fucking bullshit. It
is
makes
he
me
here?
So mad.
No, let's break the headstone so we don't lose count of which ones we've looked behind.
Like, I know.
What the fuck is wrong with these people?
So the vampire hunters then, armed with many fucking weapons.
They assholes.
Yeah. They looked through like all the fucking tombs and everything. And then those interviewed at the scene appeared to genuinely believe in the vampire. What?
That poor vampire, he was always so easily spooked by like one person. Like, this is like the worst day of his life. Imagine if they faked him. He'd fucking shit himself.
I know. So
this escalated quickly.
So yeah, these people then, they were fucking determined to find this vampire and put an end to it. So a whole bunch of graves were opened up, dozens of corpses were beheaded and mutilated with spikes.
Oh my god, what is going on?
Like, if that was my corpse, I'd be so pissed.
Oh my god. No, but I wouldn't give a shit if it was my corpse. I'm dead, like, I would know. But like, if my mother, oh my god, like, I'd fucking...
Someone just pulls your body out of the fucking grave and like stakes it. Like, literally, like this, and this happened over years as well.
Sorry.
Are you done?
No, never. I just just fucking mutilating random corpses. Like, what's wrong with that? I'm sorry, I need to mute myself.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No. I'm okay.
Are you good? You're good. Right, so this happened over a few years as well. So like, it just kept happening. People would just break into the cemetery and just fucking mutilate loads of corpses. Connor.
I'm sorry. Like, look at what that fucking old hag started with her fucking bullshit story. She was just looking for some attention, and now look what's fucking happening. London is falling apart at the seams. Chaos.
So basically, the mob—they caught no vampires.
That's exactly what they fucking are. They're a fucking wanton, reckless mob.
They caught no vampires, obviously, and. Yeah, so basically the terror, it was real. Like, people were fucking terrified. And Sean would later say then that the Highgate vampire story, it actually provoked panic and fear and disbelief on a scale which one might anticipate if an alien had landed from outer space. The collective imagination had no defense against what we unearthed back in the 60s in Highgate. I fucking hate this dude, man. Like, everything that he says just goes through me. So David, meanwhile, still unconvinced that
boring old David.
I like David. So he was like, I'm not convinced that it was a vampire. So he complained that the like media hysteria and superstition had basically turned the Highgate entity into a vampire.
It's far too reasonable.
I know.
So he's the vampire. That's what I would have done if I was Sean. I would have accused him of being the vampire.
So let's go back to that night then where they all fucking swarmed the graveyard. So on that same night, as they all ran around the place, fucking wrecking everything, Sean and some of his friends, they made their way to the entrance of like one particular catacomb. Sean claimed to have been previously led there by a sleepwalking girl who claimed to have been bothered by the Highgate vampire. Bothered, as in he was like sending her text messages. And, like, she blocked him and he was making other.
I am bothered. Follow me. where did he supposedly meet the sleepwalker?
Oh, I don't know. He interviewed a bunch of people.
How did she get all the way from her house to the cemetery?
So apparently...
on a bus just asleep.
She's like, apparently was suffering from symptoms like...
Yeah, big time.
Like that smelly garlic girl I told you about earlier. So they couldn't get the door open of the catacomb. So Sean and his little fucking Scooby gang friends, they used a rope to climb down into the catacomb through a window.
It's a terrible idea. Go on.
I know. So they found themselves in a vault with like several coffins, which tends to happen in a crypt because they're like family.
A scene from a horror movie though. Like they all start to open slowly.
It does my head in. So yeah. Found themselves in there. There's a few coffins, which does tend to happen with family crypts. So obviously they've just burst in on some family and been like, "Oh, we're just here to see if
kill you again."
You know what I mean? Like bullshit. A few coffins, and then a sinister-looking casket made of nearly black wood was in the middle.
Okay,
seem to fit in with the rest of the coffins. But like, I feel like if I died last, I would want a bougie coffin that didn't look like anything else.
No, to see, it's just the fact it sounds set up quite ritualistically. Like, I think like normally, don't they just all have them facing north or something? Didn't we discuss this before?
I don't even think, like, it didn't say, like, what position they were laid in, but there was just this one random black coffin in amongst, like, regular... like red wood
coffins.
Sean and the super friends basically performed a fucking exorcism with holy water and garlic and sprinkled salt all around because of a one darkly colored coffin, right? So a few months later then, August the 1st, the burnt, decapitated remains of a woman were found near the catacomb.
Oh my god, the poor
so
woman.
I know poor so the police family. Huh?
Poor family.
I know, like, this is bullshit. So the police then, they suspected that this mutilated corpse had been used in a black magic ritual. So after this, both Sean and David seemed to become like more active and vocal about everything that was happening. So David was apprehended by the police in the churchyard next to the cemetery one night, and he was found clutching a crucifix on a wooden stake. So he was arrested, but the case against him collapsed when it came to court. Judges have fucking bigger shit to be dealing with, you know? Just be like, you were found in a churchyard holding two pieces of wood. Like, they couldn't pin anything on him. So it didn't go anywhere. So Sean then and his followers, meanwhile, were led to a different family vault by a female psychic helper.
Sleepwalking girl.
No, some fucking psychic bitch. So after forcing open the doors... It's so disrespectful. I hate this, right? So after forcing open the door...
Do something about these people. Like, what they're doing is illegal. Like, please like do this, something.
And they get away with it because apparently they're specialists in the area, but this is still vandalism.
No,
still, like you know?
They're not specialists in the area. No. In the area of fucking desecrating corpse.
Fruitcakes.
I am the king of fruitcake.
Project Fruitcake, like genuinely.
Project Fruitcake, that's what they called it.
We're calling this episode Project Fruitcake. You've heard it.
I'll never know what we're really up to.
So basically, yeah, like, I don't understand. So after forcing open the doors, they found another black coffin like the one they'd seen in the other one that they fucking broke into.
They're not unusual.
Yeah, people just I would have thought
they
things.
Were like really common though. It's not like it was like a pink coffin or a red
It's ridiculous. Like literally, like when my dad died, we went to pick out a coffin. The family picked the coffin. They were probably like, oh, this nice dark one is, you know,
For his eternal rest, peace, exactly. Finally at peace.
The family pick it. It's not just like, oh yeah, well, you know, he was a vampire, so we should probably bury him in something a little bit darker than normal. When
a friend of mine, her mom told me, her mom had a really bad relationship with like her dad, like her mom had a bad relationship with her dad.
Yeah.
Like not the couple, like not a couple. Like her mom had an issue with like my friend's grandfather, right, and she told me that when he died she told the undertaker to bury him upside down just in case he wasn't dead and tried to cross.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
Isn't it amazing? And the undertaker was like what?
I've said this to Matt and I was like, I'm like dead set on it. I want him just to freak people out. I want to be buried with one of those bells that they had in plague times.
Oh my god, yeah, in the Victorian.
Because they used to like bury everybody obviously in mass graves and they're like, oh, someone might not be dead.
So yeah, regularly. Like,
and I would like, if obviously I would be dead, and if I was a ghost, I would just ring it to fuck with people. And be like, help! Help! Like,
gotcha. Boo! I'm a ghost. It's a double scare.
It's me. I
win either way.
Legit. So yeah. So Sean and his followers, blah blah blah. They broke into this place. After forcing open the doors, found a black coffin. And Sean, suspecting it hit. This is what, okay, so Sean basically suspected that it had been moved by black magic devotees.
No.
And opened the lid. He opened the lid to this random person's coffin.
No, can I stop you right there? The effort that it took for them to get into this fucking catacomb, like no one was in there recently.
So he said it had been opened by black magic devotees. No. So... and then, quote, it was only when we discovered in the putrid chamber of that tomb in August 1970 what we did and looked upon the horrific countenance of what was inside.
Yes, because Manchester it's a really old corpse. Like, it's not going to be a fucking barrel of daisies. Like,
so, quote, that we had absolute confirmation of what we were dealing with, end quote. Fucking eye roll. Like, what the fuck? Like, you're like, oh, yeah, we don't know what it was that we were digging it up. But once we dug it up, yeah, man, that shit was fucked up. Because it was a fucking corpse that's been dead for how long?
Did it have glowing red eyes? And was it tall?
Oh, so Sean, Oh, he didn't even, this is the thing, right? He doesn't even fucking go properly into it. So he wanted to drive a stake through the body, but a member of his entourage actually persuaded him not to.
Hey guys, wait a minute. Don't you think this has gone...
It's not worth it, bro. Like,
this has gone a bit too far, hasn't it?
Guys, like, don't do it, man.
Oh, Geraldine, now you decide to speak up.
But you know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, so he persuaded him not to then, as interfering with remains was actually a crime in England. So the only reason that he was like, please don't stab this corpse, was because it was illegal in England, not because it's extremely disrespectful and traumatizing and horrible to the members of the family that actually have to deal with that shit. Could you imagine? Could you, like, but, say, like, hypothetically, right?
But
like,
also, has he just decided that this corpse was the vampire?
Yeah.
He's just decided that. And
this random catacomb that a psychic led him to. He's like, this is my guy. Like, I'm going to fucking, like, yeah. And then his mate was like, yeah, this is illegal, so maybe don't stab it through the heart. But he still broke into his fucking catacomb. He still opened the coffin.
That old hag of Swain Lane really has a lot to answer for.
The old hag was right.
they always are. Oh my God. My mom told me a story over Christmas that I didn't remember. But apparently once we had been in town to see Santa. It was like my brother and my mom and my mom's friend and her son. And all the way on the bus, we kept pointing at old women in the street and going, oh, there's a grisly old hag. Oh, there's a grisly old hag. And then mom went mental at us and was like, I am not to hear that. That's so rude. I'm not to hear that one more
time. It is
rude. Never to say. I was like eight. You are to never say that. I never want to hear you say grisly old hag ever again. And right as she said that, the bus pulled up at a bus stop and about 25 really
grisly old
women got on the bus. My mom just lost it. Like, she just absolutely pissed herself.
She's like, I can't even pretend that this is
not no. She was like, I cannot believe it. She said that, like, the three of us were like, oh my God, like, we were like dying to say it, like, absolutely dying. Yeah.
Sorry. On with the show.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, I'm gonna laugh too much and then we're not gonna get past it.
Oh, that's good. Shut me up. Yeah. You're just so funny. That
I'm so
go
funny.
Back to the story now.
I know. So yeah, like, oh, this is fucking, so instead of them basically impaling the body, he was like, let's just do a ceremony of 7 crucifixes with 4 white candles and 7 cups of holy water in a ceremony carried out by 4 men and a woman. This will banish the spirit of evil, an evil presence, please, by using the Latin formula.
Please don't tell me it was like an orgy.
No, it's like a fucking weird thing. So news then of this exorcism, you can't see me, but I'm doing really aggressive air quotes, did indeed bring a sigh of relief to many of the dumber residents in Highgate. So they were like, oh, those guys have done that weird thing. Now we're all fine. It's grand. Nothing to worry about. No vampire. It's
narrator,
fine.
Nothing was grand. Something really terrible was happening.
Shit. So Sean then, he said that the cemetery officials then bricked up the vault that he broke into. They wouldn't have needed to be bricked up if he hadn't broken into it.
I had myself muted there because I was taking a sip of my drink and I actually like spat it out.
Oh, I'm so angry. Like, this makes me so angry. So like,
the fucking like authorities like bricked it up being like, some guy just keeps like breaking in and desecrating all these corpses.
But the same guy is like, oh, I'm glad you bricked it up. Like, you fucking fucker! You broke it! I'm
the vampire.
Fuck yeah, but yeah, so like basically they bricked it up and they put a crucifix and a bottle of holy water inside because that's to do gonna it. Do fucking good, isn't it?
And a bottle of Jameson.
Yeah, like if you wanted
fun
to
in
like,
hell,
keep,
Dracula.
If you wanted to keep like me away, you just put a bottle of gin. I'd sit in my crypt by myself with my gin. I'd be happy
enough. Make up a Jeffree Star palette.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah,
I'm fine. Like using the green. No, I can't say that I use Jeffree Star because he's cancelled and I don't want to get cancelled.
He still uses products, though, don't you?
Yeah. They're the only cruelty-free, like, high-quality products I only use cruelty free. That's my bit that I'm doing for the world.
That's the thing I tell everyone so that people think I'm a good person and not a vampire.
That's my bit, okay? And that's what I'm sticking to. And yeah, like, he might be a horrible person, but whatever. So anyway, basically, David then and his group. David, I love David. So David and his group were also making efforts to deal with the presence, even though Sean had claimed to already have fixed it. So they decided to try and communicate with the entity and figure out what the fuck it wanted, which is like, if they've claimed to have moved it and they've bricked it up and it's over, why would you be like, no, I want to talk to you.
No, but I just also, surely that should have been the first port of call.
Like, where was he? Why didn't he do this before Sean got there and did a fucking exorcism? Right? So, yeah. So basically,
Sean is fucking at it. Like, he's fucking had plans in place. Like,
he's on it. Like, he knows his bullshit. Mm. So, basically, Sean. So David and his team then, they conducted rituals using two circles, incense, candles, and a medium. I don't know what that means. Connor, you might. But I have no idea.
I need a book, a candle, and a
I need an old priest and a young priest.
And I need a young virgin maiden with long blonde hair in a milkmaid outfit.
So yeah, they did this fucking like rituals, but the first time they tried this, the press actually interrupted them. They're like, oh, scoop. Well, what are you doing? Oh,
Tony Conley, Daily Reporter.
Are you all right? There's a bomb.
What are you doing? Is this a bad time?
Can I get you some steaks and garlic? What are you doing with that Hollywood? Sir? Oh.
Terror on the Nile, see?
He's a vampire, see? He drinks the blood, see? Guys, this has just been us catching up. I hope you enjoy it because I'm having a lot of fun.
This is getting me through my hangover. It's like, oh yeah. My God, happiness. I forgot what this felt like.
So yeah, the press basically interrupted them when they were trying to do this. And it wasn't until a year later that they tried again, which is like,
I think you say that the press left them alone.
I know.
They just kept them there for a whole year. I'm going to go get some shut eye, see? I'm as tired of the vampire.
Get him. Get him, boys. Ah, oh, David, put down your Tommy guns. Eh? So anyway,
if I die, bury me over in the west of the cemetery and double up the doors. Double up the doors so Sean can't get to me. I'm oh, wow. West Westbound for some reason.
She's a handsome-looking girl, you know, Swain's Lane.
Why don't you come up into my crypt and cut off my head sometime? No title, is it?
Yeah, why don't you come up into my crypt? But yeah, anyway, so they did this a year later, and on that attempt, it saw the entity grabbing the medium by the throat. So Nosferatu Daddy was like, bitch, and grabbed her by the throat. So
this really escalated because I was like, none of this is true. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. He's killed a medium.
So David said, we had to, quote, we had to break the circle. The area turned cold.
We had to shoot the medium. Then we saved her by killing her. Sorry, that's the logic that like seems to be running through this whole thing.
So yeah, we had to break the circle. The area turned cold. She felt she was being enveloped by darkness. And she felt something was trying to strangle her. So it was Daddy Nosferatu just being like, come here, fucking bitch, fuck. So yeah, David, he was now convinced that David was convinced that the entity was malignant. So after hearing of incidents in which I don't know what it means.
No, but it just doesn't make sense there.
I don't know. So after hearing incidents on which a sinister force had pushed people over in sweating clay.
It was just the hag pushing people around. Get out of my way! I'm late. I got places to be. You're not my dog. Where's my dog?
Where's my dog?
I would say my neighbors are like, what is going on in there?
What's going on in there? See, that queen just be like. Yeah. Oh, God, that's someone, from next door.
Is someone committing regicide?
Oh, I can't breathe. So, yeah, David basically convinced that it's malignant after hearing of incidents in which a sinister force pushed over people in the lane. He did more research and he came.
I'm late for a tea party.
Where's we're not going to get through.
I'm losing my mind.
My mic fell down.
The old hag pushed it over.
Okay. I'm gonna breathe. I'm not editing this because this is hilarious.
It's just been 4 minutes of tackling it to the microphone.
I'm like dancing to calm myself down.
Are you snapping your finger? Yeah. It's like that old
all single ladies. Oh, yeah.
Get out of my way. Oh, oh, oh.
Baby boy, I'm gonna lose my breath. I'm at the back. What? Oh God, ladies, leave your man at home. Okay, right, I'm gonna do this.
I actually used to think the lyrics to that song when I was like 9. I thought, like, ladies, leave your man at home. The club, no, it's the club is full of bottlers and their pockets full grown. I was like,
yeah,
the club is full and their cock is full grown. It's like 10. Okay. I know. And my brother was like, that they're not the words.
I used to think that, do you know, Wannabe by Spice Girls?
Oh,
like, if you want to be my lover. And it's like, I still don't know the words, so I'm not going to say it, but I used to think that it was like, somebody left the well, he's all around. I was like, and I was convinced, and nobody corrected me. So for ages, I was like, somebody left the well, he's all around.
That is so stupid.
Anyway, fuck the story, okay. Prime, this is going to be like 2 hours long. 90s. Sorry, guys.
Say you will, say you won't, or you will, or you won't. Maybe you will, I don't know.
I can't.
Where
breathe.
Are we? Those my feet.
Oh, that would be an ecumenical matter. Okay. Where the fuck am I? I'm looking at my notes and I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
Just
oh.
Crayon drawings of us murdering vampires. And I'm just cheekbones and lips and you're just tits and hair.
And lips. I paid for these lips. They're going in my drawing.
Nails. You don't even use a stake. You just have your nails.
Right. Let me. So David, basically...
Who?
He did more research. Connor, please let me try and finish this.
I know.
So mute yourself if you feel like laughing. I'm gonna try to.
I've been trying to, but I won't.
Okay, so David, he came up with this theory that the being wasn't a vampire at all, but an evil presence. Connor, mute yourself. Let me just get over this. Right? Okay. So the being wasn't a vampire at all, but an evil presence that travelled along a ley line. So the ley line, it began at the part of the cemetery where urns are kept, which I didn't know you did that. Like urns.
Me, what?
Yeah, so there's a part in the cemetery where they keep like urns of cremated
in the
people.
Yeah, in the walls.
I didn't know that you kept an urn in a cemetery. I thought people like kept it in their home.
No,
like,
you can bury it in a grave, or there is usually in like crypts and those things in the walls.
That's weird to
and,
me.
Yeah, and you just see a plaque from on the outside of where it's in behind.
Oh, okay. It's a nice so idea. The line.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah, the ley lines. I'm obsessed with ley lines, by the way. I think they're so interesting.
I honestly had never heard of them. So yeah, the ley line, apparently it began at the part of the cemetery where the urns are kept and ran across Highgate through two old public houses, which are pubs.
Yes.
Highgate Wood, and then a block of flats built over a nunnery.
Oh, that's definitely the epicenter of all this.
Yeah.
So it was once an insane asylum that was turned into a modern block of flats.
You're just asking for trouble. So David, he claimed that he found evidence of disturbing supernatural activity in all of these places. Some people he spoke to said that they'd seen a tall, dark figure.
He sounds hot, by the way.
I know. A manager in one of the pubs that he went to apparently saw a sight so horrific it had turned his hair white. You're just aging, honey.
Yeah, that's what happened, sure.
And one of the flats built over the nunnery had to be exorcised.
Like the flat? Like the whole...
The whole building. Like... Apparently they had to have like a priest in to like bless the whole building.
Am I never privy to exorcisms? They seem to be happening all over the Gulf.
The Catholic Church don't want you to know. So anyway, back to Sean.
Yeah.
So despite the ceremony then that Sean and his bro dudes...
Is that what he's calling it? He's calling it a ceremony.
A ceremony, yeah. Okay. So any relief that they thought that they brought was pretty short-lived. So he said strange occurrences failed to cease... And more horrifying incidents ended any hope that we'd quieted the disturbance.
Does it give any examples?
Right. I'll tell you in a second. Okay. So further vampiric outrages were to follow. So,
the drama.
I hate him. So about 3 years later then, Sean claims he and his mates, they discovered some ominous black casket. Why can't people be buried in a black casket? What is it? What's wrong with him? Like in black casket? I would want black because black is personally like, I like to wear black a lot. Yeah, I wouldn't mind black in a casket.
We don't bury evil things in black coffins specifically. Like, why does he think this is the case?
I've always thought, you know, that old school black casket with the red lining.
Oh,
I wanted that.
Very you. Yeah,
I would love that. And that doesn't mean that I'm a fucking vampire.
I see you getting a bed like that. Like, I can totally
I wanted one
that.
And yeah. It's my bed here is pink.
Supposedly they're so comfortable.
Coffin. I've heard Michelle actually bought me a weighted blanket for Christmas.
Oh, coffin.
And I love it so much.
Oh, no,
I want
I
one for
like,
my coffin.
I'm afraid of them. I don't like
why?
Not be able to.
You don't put it on your head.
No, but I don't like, I'm like, if you have to get something, you're like, like chainmail.
I love it. I really do. No. It's so comfy though. And like, I want one when I get buried. I want a weighted blanket.
You and your emotional support blanket.
Yeah. And I feel like if I do wake up, like if I'm buried alive, which is a big fear of mine, I'm like, it'll be so difficult for me to move anyway that I'll just be like, eh.
I have everything I need.
Exactly.
I did used to say that I wanted to be buried with like the makings of like gin martinis. Like I want like a glass.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I just want my bell and my blankie.
Your bell?
My fucking plague
bell.
Right,
okay. I thought that you had like some kind of family heirloom of a bell. No. I want to be buried with my bell. It's like, this is so odd that we've never discussed this, but no, I get what you're saying.
So he'd done all this bullshit. So apparently more horrifying incidents and any hope that we'd quieted this disturbances with a mere spoken exorcism. Right. Further vampiric outrages were to follow. So about 3 years later then, Sean claims him and his pals The same ominous black casket in the cellars of an abandoned and suitably gothic mansion on the borders of Highgate and Crouch.
You can't blame them for like John, that is suspect.
Yeah, but fuck off. Like, why is he just like, why is he randomly in this house then? Like, that has nothing to do with him. It's just this big house that's near the cemetery.
That's what straight men do. They take things upon themselves to do these things. Like,
I live near an old cemetery. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, if someone broke into my house, I'd be like...
I've never mentioned that before.
No, here and in my house in Ireland. They're both near cemeteries. Right, mm-hmm. So Sean said they broke into this fucking gaff, right? Dawn was about to break, starting to send spears of bright illumination onto the macabre spectacle below. Fuck off! So this guy's a prick, man. So, quote, when the lid was removed, we beheld the same thing we'd seen in August 1970. This was now the early part of 1974. Our quarry this time looked even more exaggerated, even more distorted than I remembered it.
It's a different dead body.
I know. So, far worse than even that time in the Highgate vault. Its burning fierce eyes under the many furrowed brow. Yeah, it's a fucking rotting dead body. We're staring yellow at the edges with blood red centers.
Can I just say though, why was this body in a house, like in a scary old house?
I'll get to it. So okay. Basically, unlike anything imaginable, so the mouth was set in a cruel expression, the lips drawn back. Like, what do you mean,
dead
Sean?
Body. It's slack-jawed dead body.
Like a cruel expression. So Sean, homeboy, drives a stake into this corpse's heart, right? Yeah. So, quote, with a mighty blow, a sharpened shaft of wood impaled the creature's heart. We witnessed the body's shell cave in and
yes, because it's a decomposing corpse.
And quickly turn filthy brown and then itself become a sluggish flow of inhuman slime and viscera in the bottom of the casket.
A decomposing corpse.
A fucking way with words, dude. So, as Sean believed that, quote, cremation is recommended as the ultimate deterrent and preventative to the vampire's nightly wanderings, he and his followers then burned the coffin, right? And what was left of the body? So everything was burnt. So this took hours, apparently. Which, yeah, you're burning a fucking coffin and human remains.
I can't imagine that would take such a long time.
Bones, yeah. Like, bones
really
would take ages to burn.
Decomposed bones, though.
Yeah, but like, I don't think they were that decomposed. If apparently the corpse still had an expression on its face. I don't.
Yeah, because like corpses have expressions on their faces because that's the expression that they have when they're dead. Like,
oh no,
their face doesn't just disappear. Like, they still have a face.
So yeah, so basically, like, this is what happened. So, as believed, cremation is recommended, blah, blah, blah. He and his followers then burned the coffin and what was left of the body. This took hours, after which all that remained was a great scorch mark and some bones that needed to be ground down and cast to the four corners. Now, listen to this. Four corners or four winds of the earth.
I love that expression. I adore that expression.
So, following this, I bet, exhaustive process. Sean pronounced that Highgate Cemetery is purged. So he claims to have destroyed the vampire.
Everything. He's destroyed everything. The destruction he's left. And like, yeah. I've saved the graveyard and it's like on fire and all the like tombstones are completely destroyed.
So this did little to end the feud between him and David though. So there'd been rumors that the two would meet. Oh my God, I love this so much. There had been rumors that the two of them would meet in a magician's duel on Parliament Hill on Friday the 13th, April 1973.
Oh my goodness, this is the best thing in the world.
But this never happened, right?
Thanks, Danny. Danny, I don't think anything has ever made me this happy before. It didn't happen. Oh, thanks.
So in 1974, David was jailed after being convicted of interfering with remains and vandalizing memorials in Highgate Cemetery.
Wait, David was.
David was, not Sean. This is why I'm so angry. So David insisted that the damage had been caused by Satanists rather than him, which I am offended. We don't do that shit, right? So both his imprisonment and the rumored duel kept the Highgate vampire in the public eye for fucking years. Like, everyone was talking about it.
Like, what were they gonna do?
I know. The scrapping then between David and Sean dragged on for fucking decades, with each of them claiming to be an expert exorcist while dismissing the other's abilities. So both spent many, many years investigating paranormal phenomena. Both wrote books, articles, website. You can all see them. I'll post some links when we post this episode. And they gave a fucking ton of interviews as well, like, about the vampire, but loads of other shit. So the two men and their followers then, they frequently scrapped on social media. Don't we all?
No.
Just basically arguing over who was legit, who wasn't, all this bullshit. So David then, he only died last year in April 2019. Yeah, he was 73.
I kind of had in my head that they were actually secretly in love. Like, that would have been a great plot. Oh my god, maybe now David's dead, so they'll never get to profess their love.
Never know.
He'll come back as a vampire.
But yeah, David died last year in April, and then Sean, he still works as an exorcist and bishop in the British Old Catholic Church. After slaying the Highgate vampire, Sean maintains, he has destroyed dozens of bloodsuckers since.
And
the end.
Normal human corpses in the as he was doing.
So what I'm going to do is I am going to search the British Old Catholic Church and try and speak to Sean.
Yes. Yeah, oh my god, if we could. Oh, I know we say this constantly, but if we could get him on the, like, I'm imagining he speaks like Vincent Price. Like, I've been so
yes, my son Jody.
Oh my god, like, fabulous. Like, I feel like he's definitely a gayer as well. Oh my god, what if I end up
a gayer?
What was his name again? Sean Manchester.
Sean Manchester.
Connor Manchester is nice, isn't it?
I think it's nice.
I always like, I was always jealous of people who have like places as their names.
Oh, I actually like that.
Oh my god, he's a bit righty for a bishop.
He was back then, wasn't he? Oh, he actually was.
He actually, I need to be very careful saying this, but he actually looks quite like an older man that works at my office that I really fancy. Oh my god, some of these photos are hilarious. Oh my god, I found one that's like, I think it's like Winona Ryder was there. I think it's a medium that got choked. Oh my god, some of these
photos. I'm trying to just like find his email and be like,
not attractive anymore. I don't trust a man. What is with British men and growing mutton chops? What is that about?
I don't know.
What is that about?
No. Sean Manchester.
He was a bit
like, he seems pretty difficult to find. I mean, his Wikipedia page, I know it's not like it's not relevant at all, but it was updated this year, so he shouldn't be too difficult to find.
Sorry,
he has a blog apparently. Bishop Sean Manchester's
He's
blog.
He's very modern altogether, isn't he?
Yeah, he keeps up with shit. Sean Manchester. His books are on Amazon.
From Satan to Christ. Oh my god, the covers of his books are works of art. Like, legitimate works of art.
He's a daddy, though.
Oh, like, I'm looking at a photo here, and he's holding a cross, and he's in, like, his robes, and I'm like, fuck me, daddy. Like, yeah.
I want to interview him.
I want to have sex with him. But in the past. Not
Sean Manchester contact. Oh my god, he's got a Facebook. Hang on. That's not him. That's a labor counselor.
Oh my god, I found, when you Google him, I found this thing that it just says censored. Sean Manchester does not want you to see this photo. We've been forced to remove it after he submitted a notification of copyright or DMCA infringement complaint to our web host in 2014. Oh. And it's a picture. His face has been blurred out. Oh, this is from vamped.org. Which is a fab name. What is that? Oh, my internet stopped working.
I found him on Facebook, I think.
Is he on Instagram?
I don't think
so. Imagine he was a big thot, like. He does love attention.
It's just like loads of pictures of the night sky and candles. So it might be him. I'm going to message him. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, hi, is this the real Sean Manchester?
With the real Sean Manchester, please stand up.
I'm going to do it because his profile picture is him as a bishop.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is him. Like, that's all very damning evidence of it being him.
Yeah, but like anyone could take that picture. I was like, is this the real Sean Manchester? Guys, we got loads of fucking feedback on the fact that I email random people in the episode. So I'm going to keep doing this. I think every episode I'm just going to make one of our topic subjects uncomfortable if I can. Poor Lisa. Is this the real Sean Manchester? Should I put a kiss?
Yes.
Kiss. Winky face.
And a vampire emoji.
Okay, I'll do it. He was last active an hour ago, so he should see.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, this is where I get blocked by Sean Manchester.
Yeah, but then I'll just create a
You have to do it
for you and keep like creating new accounts and messaging him as you.
Yeah, it's like, hi. It's not like I do that. Should I use the lady? No, I'll use the nice hair vampire. There we go.
He'll appreciate that because he had great hair back in the day.
And a bat.
And just, isn't there like a blood emoji?
Oh my god! Yeah, there is. Yeah, so there's a needle though.
That'll work. That'll do. It'll be like a stake.
Oh, there's like blood type emojis. ABO, ABCL.
Oh, use them all. What's CL? They're not blood types. AB is the only blood type there. And O. That's CL. It's not a blood type.
I don't know. I thought CL was like oxygen or something.
What? No. Danny, that's insane. Chlorine.
I'm not a scientist. Right, okay. Guys, we're going to leave it there. We will let you know if Sean Manchester responds.
This was a great episode. My hangover is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that you guys had to sit and listen to us for an hour and 45 minutes.
It's a long one. But look, the way that it is, I think loads of people like I know that when I'm listening to like a long podcast, I like stop and start it like throughout the day.
Yeah, and I'd be stuck to one like this because it's basically action from the start. There's no point where we're like winding down.
There is that point where we just laughed for 5 minutes.
You can skip that. If you just skip, we'll put the timestamp down below from when we start laughing to
we'll put that in.
When you can move on. But yeah, another fun thing, you guys, is like, you're not gonna know this, so there's no point in me saying it, but we're jumping back on in about 2 hours to watch a movie together and do an Instagram live.
Ooh.
I'm
making that noise.
Oh, my mic fell. So I put a few things up on my story today. So we've got Blubberella. What else do we have?
Wasn't one about a sofa? An evil.
Oh yeah, there's like evil sofa. There's Lamageddon. There's Karis Hell.
Karis Hell, I think, looked good, but also
I want to watch Blubberella because who doesn't like the Nazis?
I mean,
like, everybody.
I hate Nazis.
Everybody hates Nazis. That sounded like I was like, who doesn't?
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, exactly. Well, I was like,
who doesn't not like Nazis? So yeah, I
who doesn't not like Nazis?
I'm giving Connor. You should have a drink though for it. So you need to get into the position where you can have
a drink.
Drink
again, ever.
Right, I'm gonna have another bottle of Whispering Angel anyway. So. I have an hour and a half to sober up. So yeah, we're gonna watch a movie. We're gonna watch Blubberella.
Like, I just, Danny, like, you're saying this as if like we're gonna be doing that live before this episode comes out.
I know, but like,
we hope you have enjoyed our Instagram.
Did you like Blubberella?
I know I did.
Oh, I did my cackle.
At one point I absolutely like turned into a witch in this episode. Like, I was like, like, it was terrifying.
I was Dr. Hibbert. I was like,
I love when you do your man laugh. I love it.
I know, I have a big like hearty man laugh. I said this to Sophie. I was listening to the episode in the car with Sophie because I'm a fucking narcissist, but I was like, do I always sound that slutty? Because I was doing these little like the giggles.
Yeah,
and she was like,
oh my god, yeah.
She was like, you have a dirty laugh, man. Yeah. You sound like a whore. And I was like, all the time, really? And she was like, yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, it is. It's literally like that. Like,
and then when I find something that's really funny,
if I was a straight man, I'd be so into it.
I think when I find something really funny, I'm like, see?
I actually used to live with a guy who did used to laugh like every.
Oh, I love it.
Great.
So anyway, guys, we hope that you enjoyed this really fucking long episode, yeah, because we really did.
Guys,
and I think that
in lockdown, you've nothing else to do anyway, so listen to that fucking episode.
I think the best feedback that we tend to get are ones that we corpse each other on, the ones that we laugh a lot and that we're just like, this is the best. They actually tend to get the best reaction when we try to be professional. You guys don't like it. You're like, oh, this is boring. So I feel like you guys just love us being
disaster
ourselves. Yeah, because Matt had even said that. He's like, you just need to fucking just let rip, just go for it, don't worry about like anything, just go and just talk about a topic, which I think has been working for us because our listeners have actually spiked a little bit, which is good because we're on like 3.
Sophie, thank you. Charlene McDonald, star.
On Charlene. We've got a few Australian listeners now, though.
I have to say, like, the listenership is an interesting one because, like,
yeah,
like all of our friends clearly listen to like the first 2 episodes, and then we're just like, oh, I'll listen to the rest later, and kind of dropped off. And but we're pretty consistent with the current ones, and like people will discover it and, you know, listen to them all.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's not something that I focus on is listenership or like anything like that.
The countries that they're.
Oh, I love the countries. Like that part is fun. Just actually, to see what different parts of the world.
I'm just gonna say this: Russia, Putin. And I just wanted to say it because we haven't had a Russian listener since the episode that we said Russia and Putin. And
so Putin.
I'm just testing this out to see if like something in the Russian government picks up when a podcast discussing Russia or Putin and it listens like to the
end. Oh yeah, let me try. Do you guys think that Vladimir Putin kills gay people? But Vladimir Putin,
I hate Putin. But
Putin,
you want to fuck
Vladimir Putin?
Oh, I would say he's a demon in the sack.
No, right?
Yeah.
No. Because Putin, right? He's a straight man. You can tell by just fucking looking at him.
I actually think he's gay.
This is it, right?
Killed by Russia.
He is such a straight man that he fucking loves being pegged by something massive.
Of course.
Like,
he loves that.
Ah. 100%. Like, this is a fucking leather clad bitch with a fucking massive black dildo. Oh,
Jesus.
Just rallying him. Just fucking rallying the fuck out of him. In Soviet Russia, girl begs you. Guys, fuck. And we're going to let this go because we're going to have to go for an hour and a half.
Thank you for listening.
We love you.
By the time you're listening to this, it will be New Year's Eve.
New Year's Day.
No, it'll be New Year's Eve. New Year's Day. I famously love New Year's Day, but everyone else seems to hate it. It's very uncool of me, but I love it. But
I like it.
See, it's going to be a bit shit this year. So I'm just going to watch Sabrina. But Sabrina's coming out.
Oh, me too.
I'm going to binge it.
We should just call each other at regular intervals throughout watching Sabrina. We should just make sure we watch it. We start it at the same time.
Yes. And we can do that thing that couples do where we like aren't allowed to move on to the next episode without each other.
Oh, I like that. You can get an app that you start it at the same time, don't you?
Yes, yeah, and you can watch. Actually, that's probably how we're probably going to watch the film later.
Yeah, we should do that. No, but like, doesn't that not work?
Blubber.
Because you have my login, but like, you can use Brogan's profile.
Okay, I'm glad that you've cleared that with Brogan.
I pay for it. Fuck her.
Oh, she got the weirdest suggestions.
You can use Chicken Whisperer as the other profile. And I am Frog Juggler. So okay. But yeah, guys, if you want to get at us, hit us up on at Scream Queens Podcasting on Instagram. We're both very active on there. I'm actually aiming to be more active than we actually usually are.
That's, we kind of go through phases of it. When we first started, we were really active, and then we kind of tapered off, and then like there's like an activity for like a day and then like nothing again.
You've got like one picture of something. And then if you want to get us on Twitter, don't but it is at Scream Queens PC. I will check it eventually because I'll go looking for some old Vine or something that I can only put on Twitter, and then I'll see the notifications.
I just watch porn on Twitter now, so that's why as you famously said, I apparently don't follow the Scream Queens Twitter.
Diva, fucking diva. And then if you prefer to email us, if you are a brand that wants to work with us,
brand with no business acumen, get in touch with
us. I keep seeing like Audible and Casetify work with like horror people, so like if you want to get in touch,
you're insane.
Yeah, but like whatever, we are at Scream Queens at
it's in the wrong place.
There's Scream Queens Podcast at gmail.com, so there are all the places that you can get us.
Every time that you do the socials, I like mouth the word along to make sure that you
you're like a dance mom. You're like,
oh my god, I'm 100% doing my enunciate.
So yeah, we're gonna leave it there. For you guys who want to join us at 9 p.m. you're not gonna hear this.
Also those of you who joined us, thank you.
Those of you who joined us, thank you. We hope that you enjoyed Blubberella as much as we did or did not.
To be decided. Yeah, so and, just guys, Merry Christmas, because as you said, we didn't have the episode of last
week. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Have a great New Year. Now, Danny, fire up the smoke machine, put on your heels, and let's watch Blubberella.
I want to know what love is.
That's definitely how it's going to go.
I want you to show me.
I am going to drink the wine. Bye.
Okay, right, guys, this has been Scream Queens, 1 hour and 55.
Why won't we just fucking end it? We've been saying goodbye for like 15 minutes.
And as always, I'm Connor. You have to do it.
Okay. So thank you for listening. I'm Connor, and I'm going to ghost you before you ghost me.
I'm Danny, and as always, Bigfoot, I have nothing to say to you. Okay, bye!
Hey. Like scary
movies. Uh-huh.
If you're going to tell me you don't like this dress, I'm sticking my head right in the oven.
Don't fall asleep.
What am I supposed to be scared of?